shiur. Unfortunately, today many of us were present at the Levaya of Rabbi Pelkowitz, who was a great mentor. I spent many, many Shabbosos with him in the White Shul, sitting next to him and having many, many conversations with him. I was very taken by his personality and who he was. So the other shiur we just gave was about the aspect of Misas HaTzadikim, and now what I'd like to talk about is a little bit about Inyanei Avelus, just in his honor and his memory, to talk a little bit about that, although it has nothing to do with our parsha. So we're told in Parshas Chayisara, by Avro Avraham Lispod Lesar V'Livkosa. Avraham Avinu goes and makes time out of his schedule to give a proper hesped for his wife, and to eulogize her, and to say all the wonderful virtues of all the things that she did in her life. Based on that, the Shulchan Aruch writes, in Hilchos Avelus Siman Shin Mem Dalid, Mitzvah Gedola Lehasped Al Hameis Karoid, we have a mitzvah that we are supposed to give hespedim, we're supposed to give eulogies in a proper fashion. V'chacham v'chassid, and when we're talking about somebody who's not just an average person, but somebody who is an unusual personality in their lives, mazkirin lahem chachmasam v'chassidusam. So when we talk about hespedim, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it's a very important thing to do, and we should try our best to learn from the life of and the legacy of the person who passed away. So the Gemara raises a very basic question in Masechah Sanhedrin. Everybody just learned Sanhedrin in the Amud Yomi, Daf Yomi, something? No? Rabbi Willichshul? Nobody was part of that Siyum? No? So the Gemara asks in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav, when we talk about this idea that you have to have a hesped, you have to have a eulogy for somebody who passes away, Ibayaluhu hespeda, when we talk about hespedim, is that yikra de chayi or yikra de shichvi? Do we assume that a hesped is supposed to be given in honor, in commemoration of the great value that we have for the person's life who passed away? Or is the hesped really just an opportunity to give kavod, to give honor to those who are left behind, to the family members who are still alive? So the Gemara discusses this issue, and the Gemara is not sure, and it says, L'may nafkamina, well, what's the difference? Either way, you have to give a hesped. Either it's for the family members, or it's for the one who is the deceased. Says the Gemara, no, the nafkamina would be, L'heicha de'amar al tasbiduni. If a person leaves a tzava that says, do not give hespedim for me, I don't want to be eulogized. So do we listen to that person or not? Well, if we assume that the whole purpose, the whole objective of the hesped is only to give kavod, to give honor and dignity to the person who passed away, well, the kavod is to listen to that person. If they said not to eulogize them, so then don't. However, if we assume that the hespedim are really more for the family that's left behind, that they should have a time where people should talk about their relative, so then the deceased doesn't have a right to leave over an instruction not to give kavod to his relatives. He has a right to give instructions for himself, but he doesn't have a right to give instructions for others. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that hespedim are yikra de shichvi, that hespedim are really instituted as a way of showing kavod, of showing honor to that person who is no longer with us. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avelus, the same, that hespedim is considered a kavod for the mace, and therefore he says, Mtsiva shelo yasbidu, if the person left specific instructions that they don't want to be eulogized, ein sof demoso, we honor that request and we do not go against his wishes, and that is the way we are going to do it. The Shulchan Aruch writes the same thing in Hilchos Avelus and Yerudeya, that we listen to a person who says that, and the same is also quoted in Choshe Mishpat. Why is it in Choshe Mishpat? Why is this halacha of Avelus in Choshe Mishpat? Well, the answer is because it's true. All of Hilchos Avelus is in the end of Yerudeya. However, in Choshe Mishpat, it talks about the monetary matters that sometimes come up when a person is on their deathbed. So there, it talks about the provisions of what a shchiv merah, a person at the very end of life, is able to say. What conditions are they allowed to make monetarily? What conditions are they not allowed to make? How much do we listen to them? How much do we ignore them? So there, in the context of all those halachas, the Shulchan Aruch reiterates this halacha and says, if one leaves over an instruction that they don't want to have a spadim said for them, we are supposed to listen to them and we should honor that request. So this is a very important halacha. The Gemara, as we mentioned, wonders whether or not a hesped is considered to be for the dignity of the person who passed away or for the dignity of the family. What about when we talk about other aspects of Avelus? Are those supposed to be out of kavod to the mace or out of kavod to the chai? For example, we know that a family is supposed to sit shiva. All the relatives are supposed to stop working for a week. They're supposed to be involved only in focusing on the Avelus. So why do they do that? Do they do that because we want them to show kavod, to show dignity to the person who passed away? And therefore we say, life should stop for you, and you're going to sit in one place, and you're not going to do anything else, because we want you to focus only on the person who passed away. Or perhaps is Shiva just an opportunity for the community to come around and to offer condolences to the people who are now sitting Shiva. So we have this question that is raised by many Acharonim. Should we assume that Shiva or other parts of Avelos are considered to be in honor of the mace, or it is out of the kavod to the people who are left behind, the family members who are in need of a consolation? So the Gemara Maseches Shabbos writes as follows. Mace she'ein lo menachamim. What if, Rachmana litzlan, you have a person who has no relatives? There's nobody to sit Shiva for them. Happens every so often. So what do? We just bury the person and that's it? Forget about it? So maybe you'll have someone will say Kaddish. Maybe. But what about the Shiva? Do we do anything about the Shiva? Says the Gemara, Holchim asara b'nei Adam v'yoshvim b'mekomo. 10 people get together and sit Shiva. So that's a very curious halacha. And this is not only quoted in the Gemara. This is quoted in the Rambam as well, that if you have somebody who passes away and does not have any close relatives who are going to be able to sit Shiva for them, we're going to designate 10 people to the community to sit Shiva on behalf of this person. Well, let's break that down. What exactly does it mean? So the Brisker Rav had a discussion with Rav Meir Karelitz. You know, sometimes I think about the story because you go to a Shiva house and the things that are spoken about at a Shiva house are so inappropriate sometimes and have nothing to do with the story at hand. And that is really not the way a Shiva house is supposed to be done. You hear a story like this about the Brisker Rav when he went to be Menachem Avil, the brother of the Chazon Ish, when he was sitting Shiva for his brother. So the Brisker Rav obviously had a great affinity toward the Chazon Ish, so he came to be Menachem Avil, and he asked him, and he said, well, you know, when you sit Shiva, I'm just wondering, is this considered to be out of honor to your brother, the Chazon Ish, or is this just an opportunity for me to come visit you? I guess that's what Shiva visits were like when the Brisker Rav came to see you. So they had this discussion, and the Brisker Rav said, maybe you can prove from this statement of the Gemara that the objective of a Shiva is not really for the people who are left behind. The objective of the Shiva, the purpose is really to show kavod to the one who passed away. After all, when you have an individual who passed away with no relatives, we designate 10 people to go in their place and to sit Shiva for them. Why? You're not suffering. You don't really, I mean, you might care. You might have liked the person, but you're not really a relative. So why do we do that? So said the Brisker Rav, it would seem that would be an indication that the whole objective of the Shiva is really to be out of the kavod to the nifter, to the one who passed away, which should follow that the same halacha should apply. The same way we assume that hespedim, since the hesped is supposed to be, the Gemara's maskana is, the Gemara's conclusion is that we say a hesped out of dignity to the one who passed away, and if they leave over an instruction that they don't want any hespedim, we are supposed to honor that request, we're not supposed to have hespedim, well, that would be reason to follow here as well, that if the whole Shiva is really only meant out of honor to the one who passed away as well, if they tell their family that they don't want them sitting Shiva for them, let's say you have a multi-million-dollar business, and the father knows if he's going to pass away, they're going to take off a week from work, this is just not going to work, they're going to lose tons of money, or it's going to be a tremendous inconvenience, or there's a wedding in the family, and he doesn't want it to get in the way of the wedding that week, whatever it might be, so maybe the father has a right to leave over instructions that, I don't want you to sit Shiva for me, I don't want it to get in your way. Should we listen to such a request or not? That is a very good question. Rabbi Kiva Eiger raises the issue as well. Rabbi Kiva Eiger says perhaps we can draw some sort of conclusion from another machlokas harishonim that we have. So we have a very unfortunate story of what we refer to as a ma'abed atzmolodas, which means every so often you have a person who commits suicide and who is responsible for taking their own life. Let us just make clear, when we talk about a ma'abed atzmolodas, we're not referring to the suicides that unfortunately we generally encounter today. Almost every time we have a suicide that we hear of, regretfully, either in our community or outside of the community, we assume that it is because there was tremendous financial pressure, tremendous psychological pressure. There were things that led the person to do it, not because they made a rational decision on their own. When the Rishonim and the Gemara talk about a ma'abed atzmo l'das, it's really referring to a person who willingly chooses that they don't want to live because they believe that life is not worth living, not because they're depressed and not because there's something that's pushing them to do it, but because they just believe that this world is just not worth being in. So that's something, it's a foreign concept. But the Rishonim say, commenting on the Gemara tells us, Ma'abed atzmo l'das, emes aski nimo l'chol davar. When a person is a real Ma'abed atzmo l'das, somebody who really commits suicide the old way it used to be done, not today, the old way it used to be done, not because of depression. So in a case like that, it says, you don't give any kavod to that person, no fancy funerals, no anything. However, anything that's mishim kavod l'chaim, if it's going to be a big embarrassment to the family, what, everybody's going to have to find out that my relative committed suicide? So anything that's going to take away from the dignity of the family that's left behind, that's what we're going to do. But anything beyond that, we're not going to do for this person. So the Rambam and the Ramban have a disagreement. Should the family sit Shiva Bayama Abed Atzmaladas. Well, writes Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what's the disagreement about? Obviously, what the machlokas is what is the nature of sitting Shiva? Is sitting Shiva meant to be a way of showing our kavod to the one who passed away, that our life is going to stop for a week, and we're not going to do anything else other than focus on the loss of this very special person in our lives? If that's the case, when a ma'abed atzmaladas is killed, when he takes his life, no reason to sit Shiva. On the other hand, if you assume that the point of Shiva is really because it gives an opportunity for the family to be consoled, for the family to have people come visit them, so then it would be reason to follow that even when you have a ma'abed atzmaladas, we should assume that a Shiva should be observed regardless. So this is a very interesting question. There was another application to this issue of whether or not we assume a Shiva is considered to be Mishum Kavod Achayim or Mishum Kavod Hamesim. And this was a story that was recorded when Rabbi Yashiv was sitting Shiva. So Rabbi Yashiv was sitting Shiva, and obviously many great tzaddikim, Talmidei Chacham, came to visit him, and Rabbi Avadya Yosef was one of the great people. He was a contemporary of his who came to be Menachem Avil. So he came there, and while he was sitting there being Menachem Avil with Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Yashiv got a phone call from Rabbi Shmuel Vosner from Bnei Brak. Obviously he wasn't able to make it, so he called to be Menachem Avil. He didn't know that there were other distinguished guests there. So he was talking to him on the phone, and then Rabbi Yashiv turned to Rabbi Avadya and he asked him, so what do you think? Can he be Yotze the Mitzvah of being Menachem Avil during Shiva by calling on the phone or not? This is discussed by Rav Moshe. Many others have the discussion as well. Should you assume that this is able to be performed by calling on the phone? Now, I always happen to find it very annoying when you go to a Shiva house and the Avil that you're trying to talk to is busy picking up the phone every couple of minutes. It's just disrespectful, I mean, I think. I don't know. It's just a strange thing. You have people who come to the house and then you're just distracted with everything else. I don't know. So he asked Rav Avadya, do you assume that this is considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim by calling on the phone, or perhaps not? So Rav Avadya said, look, maybe it depends whether the point of Nichum Avelim is Mishum Yikra the Shichvi. Is it because we want to show dignity to the person who passed away? Or is it because we want to show kavod and we want to give a chance to console the one who is sitting Shiva? If it's just an opportunity to console, so send a letter, call on the phone, doesn't make a difference, as long as you let the person know that you care, and you send a message to them that you're really thinking about them, so then you fulfill the mitzvah. On the other hand, said Rav Avadya, if the mitzvah of sitting Shiva, right after the person passes away, is because we want to highlight the fact that this person was so prominent, was so important, and we cannot continue on with life without them, then the more people we have gathering in the house, the more kavod we show to them. Nobody's going to see how many phone calls did he get this week. Everybody's going to see that there were people streaming in and out of the house, that there were cars pulling up and down, that every night Mincha Maariv was full. That's a way to show real kavod to the Nifter, to show how much that person meant to so many different people. Therefore, argued Rabbi Avadya, maybe that would be yet another application of explaining whether or not this is considered to be a kavod for the mace or a kavod for the chai. My father had an interesting situation. My grandfather, my father's father, Rav Melech Schechter, whose yard site was just a couple of weeks ago. So he was a great person, and for many, many years he taught in YU Hilchos Avelus to all the Smicha guys. He was the Rebbe who was designated to teach them, I think, Hilchos Nida and Hilchos Avelus as well. So he knew Hilchos Avelus backwards, forwards, inside and out, as he knew many other things. And before he passed away, he was such a sweet person. He was so sensitive, and he was so caring and so thoughtful all the time. So he said to my father that, you know, look, you're my son. You're a very prominent person. And he said, you have many Talmidim who are going to want you to go to the weddings over the course of the next year. He said, I don't want you to observe Avelis for me. I don't want you to be held up. I don't want you not to show up at weddings. I don't want you to, Shloshim, what are you going to do? You're going to start growing your beard? Are you going to not cut your fingernails? Then you're not going to be able to concentrate when you're given a shir somewhere. So he told my father, just forget about me. Whenever the time comes, I don't want you to sit Shiva for me. I don't want you to have Shloshim or Yud Beis Chodesh for me. And this was a big discussion. My father had a major dilemma. Should he listen to his father or not? Now, this is not a new issue. This is something that was discussed by many, many achronim. The Stechemed writes that there was a woman who gave over such an instruction to her children that when the time comes, she would like that her children don't stop their lives, they shouldn't keep Yud Beis Chodesh, don't say Kaddish for me, and she just wanted everyone to move on with life and not to be stopped by the fact that she passed away. Is that something that we would accept or not? Is that an acceptable request? Can we actually listen to such a person who makes such a request? So the Marivayel talks about it in a tshuva, and he writes an interesting story that happened in his time. So he writes that there was a woman, apparently the custom in their community was that for the entire duration of Yud Beis Chodesh, a woman who was in Avelis for a parent used to put some sort of turban on her head that anybody who would see her would know right away to give tanchumen and to talk to her and be nice to her and be sensitive. That's what they used to do. So there was a woman who was on her deathbed who said to her children, I don't want you walking around for 12 months with this turban on your head. You look so silly, and what, you want everybody in the supermarket to stop you every day when you go? Look, I don't want you to wear it. I don't need you to wear it. It's fine. I'm okay without it. So this was the question. Should we listen to such a request or not? And the Marival comes to the conclusion that yes, if the person says that they should not observe the Yud Beis Chodesh for them, maybe you have a right to listen to them. If you don't want to wear the turban, the person gave you a specific instruction not to wear the turban, then perhaps we can accept that. But if you're told not to keep Shiva, or not to keep Shloshim, so the Rama weighs in on the issue and he says, perhaps that is not something that we should accept at all. The Rama's Lashon here is, Avalim Tziva Shalo Linog Olav Shiva Ugzera Shloshim Ein Shomen Lo. As much as the father or mother wants to be nice to the children and they don't want to make them go out of their way, but still, he says it's improper. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has an issue on the side of the page there. He says, why does the Rama come to that conclusion? The same way we said that a parent can say, I don't want a hesped, and we listen to them. And the parent can say, I don't want other things, and we listen to them. So why can't we listen to a parent who says, I don't want you sitting Shiva, and I don't want you observing Shloshim, I don't want the Yud Beis Chodesh. So it's a major question in the Acharonim there. Should we assume that that should be the accepted opinion or not? My father, look, the Rama certainly says, if a parent says you don't have to keep Yud Beis Chodesh, then Yud Beis Chodesh, the Rama agrees, you don't have to keep. Obviously, Shiva and Shloshim is different, but he says Yud Beis Chodesh, you have a right to listen to the parents when they say not to observe it. So my father said his practice was as follows. He said, the truth is, my father told me that when the time comes, I shouldn't observe Yud Beis Chodesh. So I really have a right to go to all my Talmidim's weddings and to dance like everybody else and to listen to all the music and to attend all the regular events that I would go to. But he said, I don't wear a sign on my chest by a wedding that says, by the way, I'm in Yud Beis Chodesh, but my father told me I shouldn't observe Yud Beis Chodesh. He said, to most people who are there, they're going to know that I lost my father a couple of months ago, they heard about it, and they're just going to think I'm a very insensitive child, that I'm totally disregarding the fact that I lost my father. Every other person who's in Yud Beis Chodesh doesn't go to weddings and doesn't attend regular life cycle events, and all of a sudden you're allowed to go? So my father thought it was just a bizayon to his father if he's going to listen to him. He thought people are going to turn it around and say, look, he doesn't care about his father. When meanwhile, his father cared so much about him that he told him to give specific instructions not to stop his life. So my father said he had this consideration, and that's why he went to the chuppahs of all of his Talmidim, and he wasn't concerned about the music there and everything else. You know, sometimes you have somebody who's in the middle of Avelis, but they have to be at a chuppah, so they're, you know, sitting there by the music, and covering their ears, running in and out of the room. So my father felt he didn't have to go that far. He didn't have to extend it that far. But he said to stay for the dancing and to be mesameach like everybody else normally would, he thought was not really proper because that perhaps would be a bizayon to his father. There are a number of achronim who discuss a parent who left over instructions that the child should not say kaddish for them. Very strange thing for a parent to say. Why would a parent not want the child to say kaddish? Well, there were different forms of this question. The great Yeshuas Yaakov the Sholem Eishah quotes a story about the Yeshuas Yaakov, that there was a tzaddik, Reb Shimon HaChassid Miyaroslav, I don't know who that is, but B'yosa'od B'beis Chamav, when he was living by his father-in-law's home, he came to the Yeshuas Yaakov and asked him the following question. So this great tzaddik, Reb Shimon HaChassid Miyaroslav, whoever he was a shtikl chassidish, and his father was a big misnagid. And his father was on his deathbed, and he said, I have a bunch of children, I would love for everybody to say Kaddish, but you, the chassid, absolutely not. Why? I'm not making up the story. The Sholem Eishah has a story. He says, why? He says, because you're going to say in the Kaddish, V'yatzmach berkane, I don't want to hear anything of it. I don't want to have any part of this, the chassidish or Kaddish, you know, keep me away from all this business, and I don't want you saying Kaddish. So even though all the rest of my kids are going to say, you're going to be the one who's not going to say. So that's the instruction that he left over. That was his last will and testament. That was what was on his mind at the last moments of his life. Very interesting. So this son felt horrible. What's he going to do? Everybody found out that he was sitting Shiva, but now he's not going to say Kaddish? On the one hand, how can he not say Kaddish? He's going to come to shul the next day, and they're going to ask him, are you a Chiv? He's going to say no. On the other hand, how could he yes say Kaddish? His father told him specifically that he doesn't want him to. So he went to the great Yeshuas Yaakov, and he asked him, what am I supposed to do? So Yeshuas Yaakov was going back and forth, and he said, look, as far as your father's concerned, does he have a right to say that you shouldn't say Kaddish because it's up to him to make the decision? Probably. But he said, what are people in the community going to say about you if you don't say Kaddish for your father? They're going to say, there's something wrong with this guy. They're going to say there's a shemetz psul. They're going to say either he doesn't know how to say the words, he doesn't know how to be a chazan, or there's something wrong with him, he had a fight with his father. They're going to talk terrible things about you. They're going to spread all sorts of slanderous stories about you. He says, what right does your father have to get you into a situation where people are going to say negative things about you and think negatively about you? And therefore writes the Shalom Eishiv that the Yeshuas Yaakov left over the psak, that one should not listen to a parent when they say such a thing, because it is going to negatively impact the feelings that people have toward them. So the Chida has a similar discussion where he also says there was somebody who left over instructions that they don't want the children saying Kaddish for them, and they're, you know, they're confident everything's going to be fine. And the Chida writes in that tshuva, he says, Ilu yada hanifter me'atoeles hazos. If the person only knew how much the Kaddish was going to help them once they get upstairs, they would never have left over such an instruction. Writes the Chida, the only reason a person is willing to be so confident without the Kaddish is because they don't understand how much the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates the Kaddish that is said on their behalf. And therefore, says the Chida, had the person had another chance to have the discussion again with the family, they never would have made such a choice, they never would have made such a decision. And therefore, he writes that this is something that we should not listen to a parent. If they say not to say Kaddish on their behalf, we should totally disregard. The Beis Yitzchak or Yitzchak Shmelkish, again, all the Achronim talk about different scenarios that happened in their day. But as we know, the practice is that we normally say Kaddish for how long? 11 months. But we observe how long? Yud Beis Chodesh. So why is that discrepancy? Why do we stop saying Kaddish 11 months, but we observe the Avelis for 12 months? So the answer is because really we should say Kaddish for 12 months. Why? Because we assume for the 12 months following the passing of a person, they're able to be judged in Gehenim. So we want to have as many schusim as we can over the course of the 12 months. But if we say Kaddish for the entire 12 months, that's sort of saying to the world, my father is such a great Rasha that he needs my 12 months of Kaddish because he's going to burn in Gehenim every day, every night, till the 12 months are over, I got to still say the Kaddish. And therefore, the minhag has developed, we don't want to say such a thing about our parents, so we stop saying Kaddish at 11 months. We stop saying Kaddish at 11 months. My father has told me in the past, we're going to stop in a minute, my father has told me in the past, if you know that someone, Taka, was a tremendous Rasha, and really was a horrible person, everybody knew it their whole life, so, I mean, it's an unusual thing. So then he says, okay, maybe you say Kaddish for 12 months. But under normal circumstances, we assume our parents made mistakes the same way we make mistakes. They do Averis the same way we do Averis. We assume we're not going to burn a Gehenna for the entire duration of the 12 months. So Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish was asked the question that there was a father who said, I did so many horrible Averis in my life, I want my kids to say Kaddish for me 13 months. I want them to keep going. I'm not going to stop with 12, I want to go 13. So he was faced with the same question. Such a bizarre to our parent. You're right. A parent has a right to say, don't be mechabed me, don't do hespedim, don't do a fancy kever and everything else, that's fine. But for a parent to instruct me to be mevazadim, to get up in public and tell the world my father was such a Rasha, he was so horrible, I'm going to say Kaddish not only 12 months, 13 months, says the Beis Yitzchak. What right do you have? Your father can't leave over such an instruction that you should publicly be mevazadim like that. And therefore he said he felt, if such an instruction is left, that certainly is something that should not be listened to.